so we came down to chapter 2, verse 12. But either way, I did bring the candles to light after this. All right. It says, the birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, publicly decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place while Philip was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, see, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her, but he did not have relations with her until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising and had come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So he assembled all the chief priests and scribes, all the people, and asked them, where is the Messiah, where the Messiah will be born? In Bethlehem of Judea, they told him, because this is what was written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, because out of you will come the ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and asked them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, report back to me so that I too can go and worship him. After hearing the king, they went on their way. And there it was, the star they had seen at its rising. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshipped him. They worshipped him. They didn't just celebrate him. It says they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. Now it's fun between the two different verses that we just read, the verse in Luke and now this verse in Mark. There's actually a bit of a gap of time. You look behind me, you see the wise men over there, and you see the manger scene over here, and oftentimes again, we put all of those things together. But this is maybe a year to year and a half after the actual birth of Jesus. That's when the wise men show up in Jerusalem. And they show up to find this baby because when he was born, the star appears. A number of things are taking place here that I think are really important. The people in Jerusalem knew where to find the Messiah, where to find the one who was to be born. They knew. They just weren't looking. They weren't waiting. Now, there's a reason why they weren't looking, they weren't waiting, because as we sang a few moments ago, there was a period of time where God was quiet, about 400 years, between the last prophet speaking and the birth of Jesus. And so people kind of got tired of waiting. They said, it's never going to happen. It's been taking forever. It's taken all this long period of time. We don't know when he's going to come. And they stop waiting. They stopped anticipating. They stopped looking. There's a lesson there for us. When's Jesus coming back? When's he coming back? We don't know, do we? But we say, well, the last of the New Testament was written somewhere in the first century AD, and since that point in time, we haven't seen anything new written, and no new communication, and it's been so long forever, and we just lose track of time and we get relaxed and we stop looking and we stop anticipating. Just like they stopped looking for and anticipating the coming of the Savior. We should continue to look. We should continue to anticipate. I think of Herod. He said to the wise men, "Let me know where the baby is so I can come and worship." Now we know really what his motive was. His motive was to find out where the baby was, to find out where Jesus was, so he could eliminate Jesus. Because he was a guy who was jealous for his position. He was a guy jealous for his throne. He had gotten permission from Caesar to have his authority. And he wasn't going to have anyone else crouching in on that position. And he was looking to eliminate Jesus, not to worship him. But if he was really interested in worshiping Jesus, he wouldn't have said to the wise men, when you find him, let me know. If he was really interested in worshiping Jesus, he would have said, can I tag along? Can I come with you to find where he is? Can I join you in the quest to go find this promised one and join you as you worship him and as you celebrate him? And we've already been told, so we're not going far, it's maybe a few miles down the road, and we don't know exactly where he's going to be, but we know he's there. We know the general time is going to be kind of quick to find him. I'll join you. But he really wasn't interested in worshiping. But the wise men, they were. They were interested in worshiping. And I love the text because it says, and they kneeled before him and they worshiped. When you walk through the scriptures, you realize and you see that God is very jealous of his attention and very jealous of his worship. And when people worship that which they shouldn't worship, and we see that conversation taking place in the scriptures, we see in the scriptures that those people are rebuked. And we see a comment in the scriptures about how they were worshiping that which they should not have worshiped. But here we read the text, and we see very clearly they bowed down and they worshiped. And it's presented in a way of celebrating what is taking place. Why? Because Jesus is the one worthy of worship. Jesus, God in the flesh, Emmanuel. And I do hope that as we spend time this Christmas day, and as we spend some time tomorrow celebrating Christmas, that we will spend some of that time celebrating Jesus. Not quick to unwrap presents and quick to have a great meal and maybe quick to relax and get our Sunday afternoon nap, or should I say our Monday afternoon nap. I had the Sunday afternoon nap today. But the Monday afternoon nap, take that time to worship. Take that time to celebrate the amazingness of who Jesus is. They gave gifts. And this is one of the ironies and part of also the amazing provision of God. Mary and Joseph and Jesus were about to flee, and they didn't know it yet. They were to flee to Egypt. And as we continue reading the text, that evening after the wise men left, an angel appeared to Joseph. An angel said, you need to get up, take your family, and flee to Egypt. And God gave them exactly what they needed to have their needs and things taken care of as they fled to Egypt. But what's really amazing is that God is really not looking for us to come bringing him gifts. But rather, Jesus has come bringing and giving gifts to us. Bringing to us the gift of life. Bringing to us the gift of hope. Bringing to us the gift of forgiveness. God is the one who is coming bringing the gift. And Jesus is the greatest gift that could ever be given. The greatest, which is really, really amazing. Hallelujah. And so as you celebrate tomorrow, really celebrate the amazing gift that has been given to us. The gift of Jesus. Now we're going to take a few moments to light the candles, and we'll go around doing that. And as we start to light the candles, we'll dim the lights in here. We have some songs to sing. I'm going to ask you guys to do a couple things. This is really that time we'll say, let's stay seated. It's a little simpler, a little easier. But as we do this, I'm going to put that here. Just protocol. When you light the candle, don't take it and dip it. particularly noticing that, hold it over, and let the next person light the candle that way. Can we do that? Fantastic. So I'm going to let you guys start to lead us, and we're going to start to light some candles.